say. Back in his younger day.
Good, I'm driving. Why don't you bring us in? Hey,
everybody. I tried to do my best Peter introduction. I don't think it worked very well.
It's okay.
So that's what we, and that's what happens when you have a substitute host.
We're about 130 miles east of Flagstaff, I guess.
Yep.
Arizona. We're in Arizona.
Yes, we are.
It's hot, and there's a lot of gas stations that claim to be Navajo in some fashion.
Right.
Not really sure why.
We could buy all kinds of Native American stuff.
Yeah. They did advertise. I would say the most appealing to me appeared to be moccasins.
Yeah, moccasins you could or things you could actually use.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't pull them off, but when I was doing my laundry on Sunday, I could wear a moccasin.
Yeah, you could walk around your apartment with them. Maybe if you, I don't know, needed to run a marathon, you could do it.
It'd be hard to resist, though. Like, what if I started yawning and then I cover my mouth and that turns into like a...
Yeah, that would be kind of hard. That'd be awkward.
Yeah, pretty racist, I think. I don't know. Did they really do that?
I don't think they do. I think that's a movie thing.
Huh.
But, all right. So, who knows? But this episode is much like one of the other episodes where Peter asked me 50 questions.
Uh-huh.
So, I have 50 questions for Peter.
I'm ready.
All right. And one thing you'll notice right away is a huge difference, that if you listen to the last episode, Peter's questions were completely out of order.
Yeah.
They were shuffled. They were shuffled. Fair enough. My questions are in a fairly precise order.
Instead of being on index cards, they're on one sheet of paper.
Actually, a few sheets of paper.
Oh, okay.
And you'll see why in a little bit. And so I thought what we would start off with is question one.
Okay.
Question one is about entering. If you were a professional wrestler, what would be your entry music as you walked into the ring?
Well, that's a great question. I would have taken a Quiet Riot song, but that's already done by the wrestler. And I wouldn't want everyone in the audience thinking like, ooh, I bet he lives in a van.
Right.
He's locked out of his house and he's still kind of good with kids, but let's face it, he's in the past.
And there's something sort of, you're tempting the fates when you make the Randy Ramjam music yours too.
I think I would do the drive-by trucker song, Where the Devil Don't Stay.
Okay.
That's so very ominous when it starts and then gets into a nice guitar riff. I'll try and put it as a little bed right here so everyone can hear it.
Yeah.
But you can imagine it.
That's pretty good. I think that has some indie cred. Plus, it would be rocking enough so all the people in Alabama and Georgia who are watching this would be like, this song rocks!
Yeah, Alabama people would love the shit out of it, and I think that's my audience as a wrestler.
Right.
So I think I'd go with that. The alternative would be, because it's been in my head for the last 3 days, Katy Perry's Firework.
You know, that would be a nice thing, because that would definitely screw with people.
If I was the Firework, the wrestler.
Yeah, if you were the Firework.
Bottle Rocket or some shit.
The Bottle Rocket. But it's more like if you came out to Katy Perry's Firework, that would be, you'd be sort of messing with the other guy's masculinity.
Yeah, true.
You know, you could come out with, like, fireworks taped on your boobs, just like Katy Perry had.
Yeah, like black cats pointed straight out.
Right. Black cats. That wouldn't be a good sustainable thing. That would explode once. Unless you had a huge blunt brick of them.
Yeah.
They were constantly popping in front of you. That wouldn't work. I think you got to go with sparklers or Roman candles.
I'll take Roman candles then.
Yeah, there you go.
Those are my options.
That you could shoot those out into the crowd.
Yeah.
I think you'd have to be the heel if you were that character though.
Yeah. If I was Katy Perry guy.
Right.
Firework.
Okay. And I think question two is, could you describe where we are right now?
We're in Arizona. To my left is, it looks like the, beginning sequences of No Country for Old Men.
Okay.
To my right is the exact same thing, other than the fact that it's on the other side of this road.
Right.
I always, when driving through this kind of country, I always question, like, if I pulled over right here and walked a corpse over the next ridge, how long would it be there before someone found it?
Well, I
think... Forever, right? I mean, forever.
It would be there. Well, it could be forever, or it could be like one day, because your footprints would change the landscape so much.
Yeah, but that's CSI shit. Who's going to see my footprints?
I guess, here's the thing.
I wouldn't tell anyone what I was doing.
All right.
I put the corpse in my trunk. I drive 10 hours out to the middle of fucking nothing.
Uh-huh.
Drop off the corpse.
Right.
Get right back in my car. Come immediately back. Don't tell anyone what I've been up to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it could work.
I mean, I think it might work if you just, like, took the corpse behind a hill.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not visible from the road.
Right.
I think it's as good of a plan of corpse disposal as any other I've had.
I suppose. It's like you wouldn't, you know, and no one would, like, if... Now, this would be definitely better if you murdered, like, a random person.
Sure.
Not if you murdered...
Like my mom.
Right.
Because then I'm a suspect.
So then they're just going to look at your habits. But if you murdered someone just totally, like, a total stranger.
Yeah.
Say, hypothetically, tranny hooker.
Sure.
Right? You know...
Well, I think a tranny hooker deserves a better... A proper burial of some kind.
Some kind of Viking funeral, perhaps?
Well, some kind of a marker where you can leave a carton of menthol cigarettes near every so often.
There you go. Some kind of place to please the tranny gods?
Yeah.
All right. So, since you've described where we are now, question three, what motivated you to do this trip?
Well... Helping you move, I guess.
All right, that leads into question four.
Okay.
I've moved to Arizona before. Why didn't you help last time?
I don't remember being asked for help last time. Also, I think you just drove your car.
That's
true. If I remember correctly. You didn't have, like, a moving van and tow and all that shit.
Right.
So it was kind of... If you're just driving a car and you have all your worldly possessions in it, it's probably unhelpful to have a second driver as opposed to that space for your shit, right?
That's true. I mean, that's kind of true. I'll say last time I tried to have, like, one of those trucks do it for me.
Yeah.
And that, I wound up taking a whole bunch of shit that I didn't really need.
Yeah.
You know, so I learned my lesson.
Well, yeah, you bought, like, a space and a semi.
Yeah.
And these semis just drive everybody's shit
around. I mean, and it didn't, like, it wound up arriving, like, a week later than they said they would.
Of course.
Since there was no, like, when I got the semi, I only had a small portion of it.
Yeah.
But there was no way to block off my shit from anybody else's.
Yeah.
Like, not even places to tie straps or ropes.
Yeah, no, it was just, like, as if you had loaded a truck with your own shit.
Right.
And then someone else had done it, and then someone else. It was just piles.
Yeah, just piles and piles of stuff.
Yeah.
A friend of mine and I, we built a wooden wall.
Yeah.
Like, the idea was mostly, not so much, we didn't think this wall was reasonably going to hold anything back.
Yeah.
But it was more to prevent my shit from getting stolen easily, you know?
Sure.
Someone wouldn't take out my boxes by accident. You know, they'd have to do it on purpose.
I suppose. Oh, so, you built a wooden wall in the truck?
In the truck.
Huh.
And it wasn't much of a wall.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, because we could only really brace it from the bottom.
Yeah.
So you couldn't, like, brace it on the sides or anything else. And
they just let you hammer nails into this truck
or
something?
Well, we did.
Oh.
They didn't let me do it. But it's sort of like, what the hell are you supposed to do? They don't even have, like, a little... There's no mesh or anything. Like, there's no mesh or bars on the side to attach ropes. I don't know what they expect people to do.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know.
I don't know.
I mean, our wall wasn't so well constructed either that they couldn't pry these nails out of the bottom of this wood floor of the truck either, so...
Yeah. Also, yeah. I think going to another state is involved in a couple of things. I think a couple of things on my summer, not hate the summer list are knocked off by this trip.
Right.
So that doesn't hurt either.
That helps.
I haven't had a hot dog at a gas station yet. I almost did yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And there were a bunch on these rollers. And they had a fucking sign up that said, these are not ready yet. Which I didn't... When is a hot dog not ready? It seems to be always ready in some form.
When it's raw!
Yeah. I think it rolls one 360-degree rotation on that shit, and it's as ready as it's gonna be.
I mean, I think hot dogs pretty much go from raw, like, out of the package...
Yeah.
...cooked to destroyed.
Yeah.
There's no in-between. It just... Somehow it just transitions.
Yeah, I mean, I think a sign that said these hot dogs are no longer ready is probably better, because when you go and it looks like a, you know, it looks like a, a racist person would have from his days in the Klan, and they cut off somebody's fingers.
Yeah.
It's all shriveled and brown and worn.
It's a memento from the war where, like, someone was fighting, you know, the Vietnamese, and it shriveled and everything else. I was just thinking that hot dogs are kind of like Asian people, and that they age.
Oh, boy.
They age, like, somehow they seem fine, and then all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, like the last 5 years.
Right. Like, in the last 5 years of life, they go super wrinkly, but then they're like, oh, you must be, like, 20? No, I'm 40.
That's true. Which like, 18 to 60 is great, and then it's like, are you sure you shouldn't be selling a Mogwai somewhere?
Right. You know, there's no end, like, there's really, like, little kid, sort of teenager, you know, adult, and then old.
Definitely.
There's no transitional period.
No.
All right, so we're at question 5 already. Making progress here.
I'm pretty good at this, I have to say.
All right. This is going to go back a little bit, and we're going to talk a little inside baseball.
Okay.
All right. Talk a little bit about the Helpful Snowman media empire you have. All right?
Okay.
Because Helpful Snowman isn't just this podcast, is it?
No.
What else can you get?
There's a website.
Okay.
You can read, poorly thought out posts.
All right.
Often with spelling and grammatical errors, which you can point out, and then I will correct.
Okay.
And then your comments pointing it out will seem very silly.
Right.
And not make sense. It's one of my favorite things to do. So watch for that.
All right. And some of you have different blogs. You don't just have the regular Helpful Snowman sort of comedy blog. You have other blogs as well.
Yeah, there's the sort of regular Helpful Snowman blog that just covers nothing.
Okay.
There's a comic book blog that covers my reading of comic books. I'm currently half-assedly working on a project to read every Amazing Spider-Man.
All right.
That's probably, right now, I think I just heard the sound of 100 people clicking this closed when I said that. That's probably more for comic fans, to be honest, although it's sort of accessible for non-comic fans, but I don't make it that way on purpose, because if you don't read comics, fuck you. I mean, you don't have to have read these specific comics to enjoy it. But if you don't care about the world of comics, I don't care about you, and I'm not going to write anything for you on there.
Well, if you show up to a comics blog and you're like, why is this all about comic books? Then that's your own fault. It's like the, did you ever see that clip of the people who went to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young concert? They were playing this song called Impeach the President, like with President Bush.
Uh-huh.
And people were booing and surprised and offended.
Oh, yeah.
And Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young were like, man, we've been playing this song for like 5 years.
Right.
What the hell are these people doing? Like, they're surprised by that? Like, have they not kept up with us in the past, well, half decade, you know?
Yeah, no, it would be like if I did my wrestling, if I was the firecracker.
Right.
And I whacked someone with a chair and a guy stood up and he's like, well, I didn't come out for this kind of shenanigans.
I can't believe professional wrestling is so violent.
Yeah, stoop to this level. And you're like, I thought that's what we were doing.
Right, so it's the sort of thing that if you go to the comics blog and you're surprised there are comic books, don't complain about it. But if you like comic books, you should check it out.
Yeah, either way. You should just try it. Just click the fuck out of it.
Right.
And then if you don't like it, I don't know, just click on it once a month anyway.
Well, you have some other things, too. Like, you also have general book reviews, right?
I have a book blog. That one's probably the most serious, I guess.
Okay.
Even though that wanes in and out. I just read an advanced copy of Chuck Palahniuk's newest book.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be going up soon.
Sort of, you got an advanced copy?
Yeah, it comes out in October.
Okay.
But I have it finished now. It's like mid-July.
All right, and you probably got this advanced copy due to your work on your other blog, or what your other blog is based on, librarian shit?
Yeah, that's librarian shit. That's a library blog, I guess, because I, you know, wanted to do my work shit somewhere else.
Right.
Separate from my main thing, because it's like when you go out with somebody and they all work at the same place and you don't work there, it seems like that's all they talk about. So I didn't want that main blog to become about that. But I got a lot of people interested in my work, mostly people from my work.
Uh-huh.
So they can get their fix there. That one oscillates between complete bullshit. I think the current post is called my new installation art piece of, like, why I hate taking breaks in the break room. And it's this picture of a... just a banana laying a lone banana laying on a table that I assume is like a, hey, whoever wants this banana.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes me, I don't know why that made me so fucking sad, but I was like, just one banana, it's kind of old, just laying on the table.
Like, no one threw it away or thought to put it, like, in a refrigerator. I don't eat a lot of bananas, so I don't know really the good banana maintenance, but it seems like just sitting on the table is not the right spot for it.
Well, and it's, I don't know. When you're down to the last banana, either eat it or not. Don't bring one banana, whoever did that. I don't approve of that. That's not really, oh, thank you for sharing. That's like a, oh, here's our old shit that we don't want.
Right.
So that doesn't really count. It doesn't count as bringing food into work if it's old crap you don't want.
But it also oscillates from the sort of installation weird things to things that are a bit more topical.
Sure, I mean, I wrote something about that stupid computer that won Jeopardy.
Right.
And why that's not amazing. Or, they're mostly about things that I don't find amazing.
Well, there's one post that I did want to recommend to people that I have sent around to other fans, which was your one about social media.
Oh, yeah.
About how your particular library probably didn't need much of a Facebook or Twitter presence.
Well, it's like this. I think probably I mentioned this, but I'll just kind of do an oral presentation of it.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why, you know, okay, I got a bag of Lay's potato chips, and it's like, follow us on Facebook.
Right.
Why? What possible thing, even if it was a 50% discount, to me, it's not worth scrolling through the Lay's potato chip posts to get that.
Uh-huh.
As a person and print it out and take it to the store, right?
Right.
And that's not going to be on there. It's going to be a 15%, a 1-5-er.
Right.
And I don't care about that. So what the... These faceless corporations don't really need social media because they don't really offer you anything. I mean, I think a band, if you love a band and you want to know when they're going on tour, that's great. And you want to see pictures or something.
Or you might love maybe, if you like a local restaurant, they tend to be, some of them are fairly good about offering you a deal if you mention you saw this on Twitter. Or
yeah, sure, if you live in a place where a local restaurant is a thing.
Right.
I don't really, but I'm sure someone out there.
Or you might friend like a nearby venue, like music venue on Facebook if you want to see what's playing.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. But that's about as, once it gets multi-state, there's not much point to it. Because they're not your friends, you don't care about their fucking updates. I don't really care about the newest study from Lay's. I don't really care what some asshole at Lay's thinks is an interesting Facebook post related to potatoes or something.
You don't come to the internet at all to look up anything about potato chips. Like, potato chips are pretty much decided.
And so our library has a Facebook page, but the problem is it serves a gigantic area. I mean, we have 5 branches. 3 of them are in the same town, but 2 are an hour or more away.
Right.
So no one's crossing those lines. No one's checking out at the one and returning to ours or whatever.
Uh-huh.
So I don't really see much purpose in saying story time's at 10 because it could be an hour away from... There's no way you're going to that story time.
Right.
So I don't see... It doesn't have a purpose, and it's just gotten worse.
Well, with so many different little branches and libraries, which would be relevant to someone who maybe owns multiple locations of a restaurant...
Yeah.
If you have if you have one Facebook or Twitter account for the whole system, then you're going to wind up either not promoting certain events or promoting everything.
Right.
And so most of the things you promote will not be relevant to most of the people.
Well, I'll give you an example of a good, I think a Facebook or any social, a Twitter needs a personality, and that's the appeal of it. So, we could get a meteorite 50% off.
Hey, yeah.
Aren't those fucking free? They just fall from the sky? Oh, there's a giant dinosaur coming through a wall.
You could take pictures with it, too.
That looks like shit. This place looks terrible.
Oh, my God.
There's, like, these crazy, they look like paper mache dinosaurs, and there's just a school bus parked on a cliff for no fucking reason.
The paper mache dinosaurs are covered with streamers, too.
Yeah, they look like they're crepe paper.
Yeah, so it's not even like, they took crepe paper crappy dinosaurs and then made them more crappy.
Yeah.
Now, these dinosaurs on the other side, they look better. Like, they don't look like they're made out of crepe paper.
Yeah.
Like, they're smooth. So.
Yeah.
Look pretty good, but anyway.
So, like, a good example, here's what a library should do. They should put, like, 2 or 3 people in charge, Uh-huh. Give it a personality. And, like, there was a thing going around. It's nerdy as fuck. But there was an internet thing going around. It was a list of, like, the 100 most bangable male characters in English literature.
Okay.
Now, I don't give a flying fuck about that, obviously.
Right.
But it was the talk of the entire office.
Uh-huh.
You know, because everyone was like, oh, my God. And, you know, because some of them were stupid, like Aslan the Lion from Narnia.
So, basically, I was going to ask if there are any rules, like if Harry Potter was excluded.
I think he was on there. Maybe he wasn't, but Ron was. Some bullshit like that.
See, I failed to see. I was going to say, like, well, they exclude children, but, like, if you have a fucking lion.
Yeah.
You're like, why would you, you know, I will go on record, and you should probably make this a drop somehow.
Uh-huh.
I feel like fucking an animal is somehow worse than fucking a child. I'm on team human, so I think, like, if you stay in your own team, that's better somehow.
I would say a girl who wanted to fuck Harry Potter was less weird to me than a girl who talked about fucking a lion.
All right.
I'm not going to say I want to be a boy fucker over a lion fucker, but I don't know.
I feel
like one is more illegal and damaging.
Somehow,
so I can't agree with your sweeping statement, I guess.
I guess, does it depend on the animal? Like, if it wasn't a lion, you know?
Well, yeah, I don't. That's part of the lion problem. The logistics of fucking a lion are, like, incomprehensible.
Since the lion is so powerful,
you would die.
Yeah,
right?
So
there's no way.
The lion feels like if the lion didn't want to, it could easily kill you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Although Harry Potter could turn your dick into, like, a broccoli stalk or something, right?
Dickus broccolius!
Yeah, and then poof.
And then and then it's not happening.
Yeah.
All right, but I would recommend the post on social media.
Yeah, it's basically, should you be doing social media? And the answer is, unless you're just a guy or a girl, no.
Right. I would recommend that blog not just to people who are interested in the library or library issues, but pretty much anyone who works for a nonprofit organization, because some of those things you face are going to be fairly similar issues.
Yeah, I'd say anyone who works in any sort of an office situation where everyone has a little too much free time.
Right.
That's probably a good...
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So that's that. Then there's... I have a Twitter, but I probably tweet once a day, maybe.
The Twitter thing is probably... It's worth following, but it's mostly probably, hey, there's a new post up, check it out.
Yeah, if you're on Twitter, absolutely follow me. But if you're not, don't worry about it.
Yeah, go follow Lady Gaga instead or something.
Yeah, she's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'll imagine that works out pretty well.
I think that's it.
All right, I was going to ask, since we talked about all this helpful snowman media, or helpful snow media...
Sure.
Which one of these the helpful snow media is your favorite? Like, the one you enjoy working on the most?
I think the main is my baby. You know what I mean?
The main blog?
Yeah. I mean, I did a MySpace blog...
Right.
...for several years, and I think I had, you know, a solid 2 followers.
Uh-huh.
One of your exes was probably my most passionate fan.
Yeah, that was really strange.
I have a problem, though. The problem with that kind of blogging for me is I don't usually remember.
Well, I mean, I remember, well, she became a fan, and I think it's the whole thing about MySpace is that it was hard because even at that time, people were migrating from MySpace to Facebook.
Yeah, I was a late Facebook adopter, partially because I'd put all this work into the MySpace blog.
Right.
Which I guess still exists. I have no idea what the URL is or what my name is on MySpace. It's probably my name.
Some of the old posts were linked through your Facebook.
Yeah.
Like, you would put them on Facebook, and then,
you
wouldn't post them there. You'd link them to your MySpace page.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of working on a secret project of a best of blog thing.
Uh-huh.
Which is kind of the 10% of that blog that wasn't garbage. And kind of cleaning those up and making them funnier and then reposting that in some fashion.
Okay, so you'll get to sort of see the early helpful snowman days.
Yeah, that might be another one of those sort of super secret vault projects where you might actually have to do some work to get that.
Ah.
I'm thinking.
So look forward to that.
Yeah. I don't know why we started talking about that, but...
Oh, well, that was question 6,
oh,
that's why.
Oh, the origins of this or something?
Well, question 6 was your favorite thing, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. So that's been since the MySpace days.
Uh-huh.
I've been working on it. We're at almost 500 posts on the main site.
All right. I guess when we get to question 7, it's worthwhile that I should give you the same deal that I got.
Okay.
Where you get, I believe it was 3 free passes.
Yeah.
But if you take the if you take more than that, you owe me a double stack.
Yeah, for every question.
For
more.
Every question you. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so if I take 5, I owe you 2 double stacks.
All right. Okay. So that's why I'm asking this with question 7. What is the worst episode of the Helpful Snowman podcast?
Oh, boy. The worst episode. Well, I haven't listened. I think I've listened to all of them one time because I listened through them to try and make sure that everything sounds okay-ish.
Right.
Gosh, worst episode. Well, I had... Okay, I've had a few people tell me that one episode was probably their least favorite.
Right.
I don't know the number. It was me, Alec, and Sarah, and we talked a really long time about horror movies or something.
I think so.
And I think that one was a little long, and I think all three of us aren't very...
You're not on the same page,
no,
I guess?
No, I mean, no. They were relatively new to the whole thing.
Right.
To each other as well, so I don't think they were 100% comfortable with each other in a public context like that.
Okay.
And I didn't know what their relationship was at that point as far as what they were comfortable talking about and that kind of thing.
Right.
So I think all of us were a little demure.
Okay.
To put it kindly. So that's the one I've gotten the most feedback on, and of course it's negative feedback.
Okay.
So that's probably, I guess that would be my least favorite based on that.
It was the least favorite because you kind of got a lot of negative feedback.
Yeah.
And that's not something you're looking for. So.
Yeah. Which, who, God knows if that's the best one or not, you know, but.
Right.
That's the one I've gotten the most comments on.
Okay.
And so, being the internet, of course, most comments means bad.
Yeah. You never, like, there's never something where it's good.
No.
So, like, if you got no comments, you might think that it's probably the best one.
Right. Oh, yeah. If I heard nothing, I'd say it must be pretty decent.
All right. So, moving on to question 8. This is also a real thinker.
Okay.
So you may need some time on this one.
Okay.
All right. Who is your favorite Street Fighter 2 character?
To play as or as, like, a guy?
Oh, we'll blow that up. Who's your favorite to play as?
Well, I played as Guile a lot.
Right.
I think I had a Zionistic attitude. I like America.
Uh-huh.
He likes America. Also, his moves were easy.
Yeah, he was one of the few characters who had no, like, all of, like, you could do all of his special moves.
Yeah.
Without using any diagonals.
But I also quite liked playing as Chun-Li from time to time because she would turn upside down and spin around and you could see her underpants.
Yeah, she was, yeah, that was.
So that was, you know, if I had to pick one to play forever and I was at that age, I probably would take Chun-Li because even if I couldn't win, because I was never great at Street Fighter, I could
right.
be titillated, and that's something.
You could be, that's probably would be a disadvantage if you were already low skilled. I mean, if you're already kind of weak,
yeah.
you're going to be constantly looking at her panties, which is
sure.
going to distract you more.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, and it was frustrating when I couldn't do the move.
Right.
And it wasn't even like I wanted to win. I was like, God damn it, I pressed B, you know, but.
Yeah. So
I
there
just
was basically
to see underpants.
You would be. In, you'd play, like, you'd press start on the other controller.
Yeah.
So you'd have a 2-player thing with the one. And then you could just beat up on the player standing still.
Yeah.
But you could constantly do that move and constantly see her panties.
Yep.
And try to figure out how to do that move with one hand.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I hate the word panties, by the way.
Yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. Like,
it's a weird, I don't know.
Like, it seemed like it should be, oh, well, it's small underwear.
Yeah,
but
I think panties, I feel like, is like underwear until you hit puberty or something.
Yeah, like adult women shouldn't have to wear panties.
Right, like panties. Panties is the word they use when they find underwear in a ditch and then a couple days later find a corpse.
Yeah.
That's the only time that word should be used.
Somehow that still seems wrong. Like, I think
yeah.
we found her underwear. You
yeah,
know?
Underwear is fine.
Yeah, underwear is fine.
Briefs, I don't
Briefs,
know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But it feels like panties are, again, what little kids wear.
Yeah.
You put on your panties, and then you put on your jammies.
It's kind of like saying the word doo-doo or something.
Right, like you would never say doo-doo to an adult.
No, I gotta go take a doo-doo.
Right. I doo-dooed everywhere.
Yeah. I doo-dooed in a pair of women's panties, and then that's how I get off. See how that sounds?
Yeah. All right. So, moving on, we'll go to question 9.
All right.
All right. Question 9. What would you put in an omelet?
In general?
Yeah.
You know, my favorite omelet, and this is going to sound crazy, is bacon, of course, chopped up.
Right.
And then, like, the nicer 2% milk Kraft plasticky American cheese.
That's weird, where you have, like, the nice milk.
Yeah.
Probably decent bacon if you can get it, right?
No, not milk. It's the cheese that says that claims to have nice milk in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think the plasticky texture of that cheese really holds an omelet together, though. And it's kind of, with that and the bacon, it's got a nice saltiness to it.
Okay.
I think it's pretty much perfect.
So definitely no vegetables for you in your omelet.
I'll eat it, but if I'm making it at home, fuck that.
You don't like to chop it up and do the whole thing?
No, and here's the other trick.
All right.
You make most of the bacon in the oven.
Uh-huh.
Because I know bacon cooking on the stove is like the classic move.
Right.
It cooks better in the oven.
It does.
But you do like 2 or 3 strips in the pan, and that's how you grease your pan before you put your eggs in.
Ah.
And then your whole thing has a nice bacony essence to it. It's perfect.
There you go.
That's my cooking tip.
All right. Well, speaking of cooking tips, who is your favorite TV chef?
Oh, boy. Probably Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay is a popular choice. I think he just has the quantity of shows.
Well, I wouldn't want to work for him. Here's the thing. Yeah, okay. Right. Okay, I like that one hot babe.
Rachel Ray?
No. Fuck Rachel Ray. I hate Rachel Ray because she's full of shit. She's like, 30-minute meals, except every meal has fucking 10 ingredients you've never seen in your kitchen in your life. It's like, okay, first start with the dried scallop husks, and you're like, okay. Well, if I had access to an entire Whole Foods store in my back pantry, perfect. But I don't.
Right.
She's full of shit. I don't, the hot one on the Food Network. She's like Italian, I think.
Like Gina something? Or?
Yeah, she's hot, but I know nothing about her cooking.
Okay.
I'm quite a fan of Paula Deen's recipes.
All right.
I find her recipes, because her recipes always start with, like, make sure you buy 8 sticks of butter because you're going to need them. So I like her. Actually, you know who my favorite? He's not super famous, but this is my favorite chef, and he does make frequent TV appearances. Anytime you see, like, if there's a cooking show, like, on the NFL Network or something, or a chili cook-off, his name is Roy Lamp, also known as Dr. Barbecue.
Dr. Barbecue.
He has, like, a crazy shitty beard, and he always wears, you know, like an apron with motorcycle looking flames on it and stuff. He is the best, I am telling you. If you get Roy Lamp,
right,
his book, he does an NFL Sunday cookbook, fucking awesome. It is so good, and it's every horrible food that you're not supposed to eat if you don't want to have a heart attack.
It's all the foods you would want to eat while watching football, obviously.
Exactly.
So everything has a shit ton of cheese, a shit ton of sauce.
God. It's good.
Does anything have, like, vegetables in it at all?
There is an, like, apple thing that's an apple stuffed with a Snickers bar.
Oh, God.
it has vegetables, but... And, you know, he puts stuff in his book, too, like... Hey, if you're making this bread requires a beer, and there will literally be a step that says, put this much beer in the bread, then drink the rest of the beer. He does not say, like, discard or set aside. He's like, drink it.
He's thinking, he's somehow writing this to, like, those chefs who are like, we don't throw away anything. We'll save this beer for later. He's like, nah, just drink it right now.
He's like, don't
just
be slam an it asshole. Down. Just drink it. I've made that bread 3 times, and partially twice because I was like, I would like to drink a beer and have a reason to not, you know.
There's
never a reason to not drink a beer, but this is like, well, now I have to.
Okay. So.
So Roy Lamp is
Roy
my
Lamp.
Favorite TV
All right.
chef, yeah.
But we'll go, when you go through those TV chefs, like, think of the list you have. Rachel Ray, asshole, right?
Yeah, piece of shit.
Gordon Ramsay, you like him, but he kind of an asshole, right?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to work for him.
Definitely not. Anthony Bourdain, kind of an asshole.
Yeah.
All right. So why are so many TV chefs assholes?
I think they have to do something for the show.
Okay.
To make it entertaining.
All right.
And so they're not terribly funny because they probably haven't practiced being funny because they have a really good skill, which is being a chef.
Okay, yeah.
But anyone can be an asshole and anyone can yell. And they
right.
can edit anything to make you look like a dick.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's kind of a fallback of... It turns it from a Yan Can Cook, where he just makes a thing and goes home, into a show.
Right.
So you have to have an angle. And, you know, Gordon Ramsay, I think, and Anthony Bourdain coined the asshole.
Right.
I mean, there's... you know, Rachel Ray, her thing is like... fantasy land, where she gets to shop all the time and all that shit. It's like
it's like at the Top Gear of food, you know, where it's like, yeah, I'll never
but
have
not
that
entertaining. I mean, okay, it's bullshit.
Well, no, I mean, it's like the car porn segments where you're just watching like this supercar go, and it's
well,
like,
she'll be shopping okay. not even for food.
Oh,
I mean, it's crazy. And you watch her walk to a store. I don't know. I'm not into Rachel Ray. Fuck Rachel Ray.
Right.
I don't like Jamie Oliver either. He's a little self-righteous for my taste.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that like Gordon Ramsay and Anthony Bourdain are different types of asshole.
Yeah.
Gordon Ramsay is the fuck you, I hate you kind of asshole.
Yeah.
And Anthony Bourdain is the I'm better than you kind of asshole.
Yeah.
And Jamie Oliver is like that, but not clever like Anthony Bourdain is. So,
no.
I mean, that is the huge difference. I think most of the TV chefs are assholes. It's just that some are clever or intelligent or
yeah.
like, and I'll say that
or
with
good at yelling.
Yeah,
like
good at
Gordon
yelling.
Ramsay.
Well, Gordon Ramsay is strange because everything he does for an American audience is 1,000 times louder.
Sure.
Like when he goes to British restaurants for British TV, he's usually like subdued.
Yeah.
And I mean for Gordon Ramsay, but he's usually like he's actually trying to help. You
sure.
know, where it doesn't feel like he's yelling at you to
shut it down.
Right.
Nothing. Raw.
Right. It's, I mean, when he says this is raw, it's like, this is raw. Like, just very, like, matter of fact.
I would love someday to be sitting at a table and eat a shrimp and be like, this is raw.
This is
and then someone says, what? And I tip over the table and I'm like, this is raw.
I know.
Shut it down.
It's complete, and this is like in a house. This isn't in a five-star restaurant.
Right. It's just at somebody's backyard barbecue.
Yeah, and then I go in the kitchen, and I'm like, what is this?
This pantry hasn't been cleaned out in 8 months.
I know.
The bathroom is awful.
Something like that. I would love to do that.
Just go absolutely apeshit.
Yeah.
On this. All right. So... moving on, and still talking about assholes in food service, all right?
Okay.
What kind of assholes did you encounter during your food service work?
Oh, God, every kind.
All right, could you give us a good example? Let's go with a single place. Have you discussed the barbecue joint before?
Not really.
Okay, it might be worth...
I worked at Bubba's Barbecue.
Which is now
dishwasher.
Closed. Right.
Yeah, which got closed because they were like, oh, we have to pay taxes? What? Yeah, you do, you fucks. That was the worst place I ever worked because of the people who worked there.
Okay.
Like, you'd think McDonald's would be the worst, but it's really not. This place was meaner and filthier.
Like, somehow McDonald's has this corporate structure to maintain some kind of sanity.
There? What did you just say? It's rattling a little for me.
It's just a Pepsi. I stood it up.
Oh, just put it in this cup holder.
Oh, okay. There we go. All right.
Sorry.
So...
continue. Okay. I'm continuing, aren't I?
Yeah.
I'm like, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Bears live in Arizona?
Bearzona?
Yeah, Bearzona. That
right.
seems a little hot for them.
Yeah.
A couple assholes. Well, here's the problem with working at a one-offer restaurant, a small place.
Uh-huh.
Everyone who works there is related to the owner except for you.
Right.
So that means everyone fucking walks around like they own the place because they kind of do. So, for example... my least favorite person, there's a waitress named Rhonda, and she was a total bitch. And she looked like every day she came in like she was going to an 80s prom. She had like eyeshadow and the hair that had like the big waffle in the front.
Oh my God! So she teased her hair up.
Yeah.
Okay, so she didn't watch Friends and realize that was over.
Yeah, she looked like shit, and I think she was married to the owner, or the owner's son, or something.
All right.
And I remember this one day she came in, she walks back into the dish area, and she was pissed off about something. And she had a full breakfast burrito plate. So this was a place that, for as shitty as it was, they gave you a lot, I think was the trade-off there.
It's like the old joke of, you know, the food is terrible and such small portions.
Yeah.
But it was just they decided, well, we're going to give you a ton of shit.
Yeah, I mean, you leave and you're like, well, I'm full.
Yeah.
That's one positive-ish thing I can say.
Okay.
So she had this burrito plate. It was gigantic, and she just literally smashed it on the floor, face down, made a huge mess in the dish area because she was pissed off about something related to something else, and that was her way of sending a message to her husband/boss.
Okay.
Of, I don't know, God knows what waitresses are complaining about, probably something like, can you fucking believe they set so-and-so in my section, or they're not seating anyone in my section, or whatever.
Right.
They talk about these sections like they goddamn built it from the ground up. Like there's four tables and they're close to each other.
It's like it's as if it's a like pioneer log cabin that you've defended from the Apache.
Calm down. Calm down about your fucking section, okay?
All right.
All you did to earn that section was put on tight black pants.
Fair enough.
And get a little folder from American Express for free.
Right.
So she was horrible because she just treated everyone like that. There was Little Rick, because there were two Ricks. Little Rick was one of the managers. He was an idiot. I saw him. I had a friend who worked there, and we had sort of a mini buffet. Whatever was the special that night was the buffet. So, like, it would be brisket, let's say. So you could go up to the buffet and just get brisket right then, and we had a shitload, and it was all you can eat. Or ribs, or whatever. One night, we had ham.
Okay, this is going to go well.
So I came in at the same time as my friend, and there was a ham that had been on the buffet. It looked like all goddamn day. All day. And so he came in, and like a responsible employee, immediately threw it in the garbage. Fuck this. No one's eating this. I'm throwing it in the trash.
Like, he was doing the Gordon Ramsay thing of like, this should not be eaten.
Just throw it out. It's been under a lamp all day.
And then just threw it away.
Exactly. So he throws it away. Little Rick comes by shortly thereafter and is like, what is this? Why would someone throw away a perfectly good ham? Takes it out of the garbage can. Rinses ranch dressing off of it and puts it in this big garbage can, which is the sloppy Bubba pile, which was our version of a sloppy Joe, which was literally all the old meat from the buffet put through a grinder.
So wait.
And that was a menu item.
So the sloppy Bubba is just every piece of meat that's been under heat lamps for a while, all mixed together. So you might have a sloppy Bubba full of chicken and pork.
Yeah,
and just beef.
Jewish
maybe.
Nightmare.
And yeah, it's not kosher at all.
I don't think ham with ranch on it qualifies as kosher anymore.
No, for lots of reasons.
Even if it's rinsed off
for
4 to 5 seconds.
So you've got Rhonda the waitress and Little Rick.
Yeah. I mean, those were the meanest ones. Everyone else there was pretty much an idiot, I think.
Right.
Like, you know, there was a manager named Layton. He was like one of the sons.
Uh-huh.
My first night there, I mean, I looked like I was 10. You know, I was 17, but I looked very young for my age.
Right.
And so I closed my first night there, and I was putting all the stuff away. I smashed a bowl on the ground because it was a breakfast bowl, but somehow had gotten served to someone.
Okay.
And it came back, and I could not figure out where the fuck it was supposed to go. And it was the last thing I had to do, so I decided to just break it and throw it away.
All right.
Like, oh, it's broken. Shit.
Yeah.
Then we're sitting out there waiting for everyone else to finish their, you know, closing jobs.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, hey, man, you want a beer? And I was like, I don't even look 60. I don't look old enough to work as a dishwasher.
Right.
Let alone, I mean, a beer is completely out of the question.
Yes, this is just like a no.
I still get carded today, and it's warranted.
Right.
So you can imagine 10 years ago, I was surprised when someone didn't card me.
Okay, so...
So he was an idiot. I mean, that was my first fucking day there.
Okay, so he was an idiot, but at least his heart was in the right place.
Sure, I mean, maybe he was just trying to be nice.
Yeah, like he wasn't actually going to get
it to
you.
Also, my mom was coming to pick me up.
Oh, God.
As if it wasn't enough.
All right. Well, I think we're going to take a short break.
All right.
And we'll be back. That was question 13, so we've got a lot more coming.
Holy shit.
All right.
Time's going.
All right.
Can you check that the time was going?
It is going.
Okay.
And we're back. All right.
This billboard, Indian Art Center, their slogan is worth visiting.
It's worth it.
It sounds to me, it sounds, yeah, like that. Like, yeah, it's worth visiting.
You should give it a shot. All right.
Like Jay Leno endorses it.
So we've got some more themed questions. You'll notice that my questions kind of do go in some type of theme.
Yeah.
All right. So, number 13.
I can see why I considered doing some, like, jokes, you know, like,
right.
In the questions, and then when they were out of order, I was like, oh, fuck this.
Right. So, all right, so number 13, this is much more of a science question. All right, so put on your science cap.
Okay.
Hopefully you've got some scientific acumen.
I have a little.
A little bit. All right, so this is the thing. It came up the other day while I was, farting.
All right.
Okay. So, what makes farts smell like weed?
What makes a fart smell like... Sometimes they smell like weed?
Yeah.
Mine don't ever smell like weed, so my guess would be weed.
Well, see, I'm not smoking weed. Like, I don't smoke marijuana very often at all. But... So it's not enough. Like, I feel like if you're going to make a fart smell like something, you have to eat a shit ton of it.
Okay, you know, hoppy beer then?
Because
I think hoppy beer tastes like what people who are junkies have told me weed tastes like.
All right.
So I'm going to guess hoppy beer, because that would give you gas and potentially the stink of weed.
All right. So on a related question, what do you think? It's not actually not on my list, but I did pee the other day, and it smelled like burnt popcorn.
Oh, yeah, I get that, or kind of a cereal smell.
Yeah, I think that's coffee, but...
Coffee. Burnt popcorn.
So it doesn't smell like coffee, it definitely smells like burnt popcorn.
What would make pee smell like burnt popcorn, in Peter's opinion? Jesus, I don't know. I mean, some kind of... Well, I'll put it this way. Maybe it's not having a urinary tract infection. Because mine has never smelled like that, and I almost always have a urinary tract infection.
So that's the burnt popcorn is the smell of healthy pee.
Yeah, therefore I am concluding with my Sherlock Holmes skills that is the sign of health.
All right. So number 14, what was your worst fart?
They call me House. My worst fart.
Yep, your worst fart.
God, that's a hard question, because I have some pretty bad ones. Well, I'll say which one was worse for me.
Okay.
Although, also, it was really good. When I was a kid, I don't really know why, but for some reason I got put on a sulfa drug.
Okay.
Which is a common kind of, I think it's like an antibiotic or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it is exactly.
I don't either. But anyway, I took it, and probably 3 or 4 hours later, I had the worst stomach pain I've ever had in my life.
Like, to date.
Yeah,
still.
I mean, I was laying on the couch, curled up, and like, oh, and it felt like I got punched, but like, then the fist went inside and turned into a balloon and exploded.
So it was getting punched with an expanding fist that never got better.
Yeah, like getting punched by Mr. Fantastic, and then expanded his fist the way he does when he puts it inside Mrs. Fantastic.
Ah, right.
Because she's, well...
Call him Mr. Fantastic for nothing.
No, and she gets around.
Ah, yeah.
I hear.
Well, you know, if she's really banged most of the Fantastic Four, except hopefully her brother, but... So if she's taking things orange dong, then whatever Mr. Fantastic has to offer is going to seem It's not gonna feel. She's not gonna feel it. So.
Yeah, I don't know if you can even have sex with the thing. That's more of a road public works project, I think.
It's something that the Obama administration has to do, like with like a whole team.
Hope. It just says on the side.
Right. When he said shovel-ready job, that's what he meant.
You're going to need a hard hat, sir.
You're going to need a hard hat and a jackhammer to get the thing off.
So I was in horrible pain.
Right.
Stomach pain.
Uh-huh.
And it was bad enough that my mom was like, all right, I think we better take you to the hospital. And I said, okay. But I think I might have to take a crap, so I think I'm going to crap first.
Okay.
So I go, I sit on the toilet, and proceed to have the longest, loudest bout of gas I've ever had in my life. I mean, it was completely cartoonish.
Okay.
It was like, you know, it's an overused scene in movies where it's like a guy in the bathroom and it's just ridiculous amount of farting and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Or fart noises.
Right.
Like Dumb and Dumber when he's having the diarrhea.
All right, or it's like with you've seen Kenny versus Spenny, right?
Sure.
You've seen the one with the biggest fart contest?
No.
Okay. Well, there's one sequence in the episode, spoiler alert, where he does put a bicycle pump into his butt and sort of pumps himself up and lets out a long fart.
Huh.
So I imagine it must have been like that.
Yeah.
But
it was
fart.
Crazy.
Okay.
I felt myself deflate,
uh-huh.
And then immediately after letting that fart go, I was fine. Didn't have to go to the hospital.
You were just like, okay, going back to bed.
Yep. Yeah, I was like, hey, I feel great.
All right, so that might not be your worst fart. That might be your best fart.
Well,
because you went from being horrible pain to redemption.
Best for me, but I would assume it would be the worst for anyone else.
Okay.
I mean, I don't have farts that are bad for me, per se. I find them pretty entertaining.
You cup them in your hand and try to waft them up to people?
No, I mean, I'm a frequent bed farter.
Ah, yes, that's been discussed.
I always have one first thing in the morning, always.
Uh-huh.
So I usually try and get spooned so that I can fart right into someone's lap.
Little spoon, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm big spoon, it's shooting out away, and I'm shielding the other person from the fart, and that's pointless.
It's a waste.
Why be alive?
Why
wake up and get out of bed?
All right, so with your worst fart, we've got our next question, number 15. It's also from the Helpful Snow fan community.
Oh.
In the butt.
In the butt.
That's all it says is in the butt.
I think I answered this question before. I don't remember what my answer was. I'm not a butt in the butt guy. I like a nice butt, but
right.
I don't need to be in the butt.
Okay.
I guess I would do it if it was a demand from a significant other. But I'm not a butt in the butt person.
So hypothetically, if Alec came to you and said, put it in my butt, then you'd be like, yeah, I'll sure.
Because
he is significant.
Yeah, but he's a man. I don't know. It's different. I would
right.
say there's probably coarse grating hairs.
Alec, I hope you're listening.
To me, a butt is like a Mounds bar.
Right.
I love the delicious outside.
Uh-huh.
But the inside is nothing that interests me.
It's just horror on the inside.
Although the chocolate's on the outside, so it's kind of a weak analogy.
It's kind of a reverse butt.
It's a reverse orange.
All right.
I love the inside, and the outside's horrible.
All right.
But if you reverse that, that's what a butt's like.
Okay. So there we go. Question 16. Now, this is a choice question. You have to choose between these two options.
Okay.
All right. Assuming they are of equal length. And equal effort, like equal money, equal effort to get there, equal you have to dress up, all right?
Uh-huh.
All things are equal. Would you rather see a ballet or a play?
Oh, God.
And the play is just a regular play, not a musical or anything.
Is anyone naked or...
Well, there'd be, like, if there's going to be a naked person in the play, there'd also be a naked person in the ballet.
Oh, I'd see. Oh, well,
like,
then...
Like, everything's equal.
Then the ballet, because I would like to see a naked person jumping around. I think that would be physiologically fascinating.
All right, so you get to see people, like, jumping and doing this, like, young women
weird
doing the splits,
moves.
Like, in ballet.
Well,
know,
I
like,
think you would just see, right. like, weird muscles and shit that you've never seen before. So that would be... interesting and engrossing enough, and by engrossing I mean gross outing,
okay,
that I could keep up some level of interest and watch the entire thing.
But
probably.
What if there were no nudity in either one?
Probably still the ballet, just because I've never seen a ballet, so that's something.
Okay. So you could check that off the list, whereas you've seen and been in plays.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want to do that.
I've been in a play.
A play. All right. So question 17 is, what do you have against musicals?
I love music.
Okay.
And I find the songs of most musicals to be weaker than regular music.
All right.
So I don't really know why they're necessary, because I think we have movies and we have music.
Okay.
Both of which we have great examples of constantly.
Right.
I don't think they need to go together. I like, Häagen-Dazs caramel cone ice cream.
Okay.
I love a good steak. I don't need to mash them together. I can enjoy one and then the other, and then that's all I need. And
you want the little plate with the little dividers in between. Like, you'd eat all your meals that way.
No, no.
Okay.
I mean, if the steak touches the broccoli or the fries, that's fine.
All right.
But no one wants to eat fucking caramel ice cream on a steak. Nobody.
Nobody does.
I'm not crazy for saying that. So I think the combination is dumb. I think you sacrifice something when you say, do I want an actor or a singer? Because I don't think the best singers are the best actors.
Well, yes.
Or vice versa.
Clearly the movie Glitter has shown us that's true.
I mean, yeah. Let's look at the musicals. Okay. Burlesque. Piece of shit.
Right.
Moulin Rouge, hate it.
Right.
God, do I hate that movie. That's all style, no substance.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, garbage.
But those two examples are with Moulin Rouge and Mamma Mia. They weren't, like, they didn't write songs for the musical. So.
Na-na-na-na. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, the songs are pretty goddamn catchy.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're good. Like I said, I've had Firework in my head for 3 days. That doesn't mean I'm like, oh, you know what? This is a good thing to talk and think about.
You know, it's the kind of thing that doesn't make you look forward to the musical based on Katy Perry music.
No. Oh.
Which is coming.
Speaking of music, we saw, this is like a message from God. We're at the motel.
Right.
And I go out to get a McDonald's breakfast because I went down to the Continental breakfast and I was going to go.
Uh-huh.
But there was this long line, and I saw a guy sitting at a table eating what looked to be the worst waffle I've ever seen.
Those waffles are pretty terrible.
It was pale.
Yeah.
It was the same color of, you remember on The Simpsons, the kid who pukes on the bus? Wendell?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was the color of the waffle.
Did you have to ask if I remembered Wendell from The Simpsons?
No. That was for the benefit of listeners.
Okay.
So I walked to McDonald's to go get a bad breakfast, which is made worse by the fact that I've had McDonald's breakfast probably one other time this year, and it was 3 days ago. So I've had two McDonald's breakfasts this week, which is far too many.
Right.
And I'm walking back, thinking about how I hate my life, and I see a billboard, and it's the guy from Stained, and his name is Aaron Lewis?
I think Aaron Lewis, that sounds right.
Fuck, well, I hope that's it. Anyway, I saw it, and I was like, he's coming to New Mexico, to Albuquerque, I think, and he's playing solo and acoustic.
Right, it advertises Aaron Stainley.
Yeah, Lane Stainley.
Solo, and it advertises that he's from Stained, in case you didn't know.
Yeah.
And then it says, well, he's going to be solo and play acoustically.
So it's like God gave me the answer there.
Right.
But I didn't spontaneously break into song.
Okay.
Because that's not real.
All right. But you did spontaneously break into something later in life.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask, and this is question 18.
Yeah.
What got you into running? Because you are an avid runner, jogger, whatever you want to be called.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, how did you get started in that?
Pretty much just to have friends.
All right.
I had like one friend in high school, and he started doing it. And then every day he ate lunch with the other people who were doing it.
Right.
And I was like, well, fuck, I would like a friend.
Somehow this guy got friends right away. Like,
yeah, I mean, it becomes a pretty tight-knit community because you end up running with the same people constantly.
Right.
So you end up, seeing a lot of the same people day in and day out. And so you kind of make friends that way.
And you always go through a horrible experience, which is a lot of what a lot of races and running teams wind up doing.
Yeah, I mean, you're working hard together.
Yeah.
So it's like working somewhere or, I don't know.
It's like why you,
doing
you know,
something shitty.
It's why people always have army buddies.
Yeah.
That are very different from them, but they still all hang out together.
Right.
So it's just sort of because they've gone through something difficult and.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it was, you know.
You guys were in the NAM.
No, and I was not like some amazing athlete either.
No.
But, yeah, it just. If you're in high school, and the great thing, too, about running. Why I would recommend it to anyone, co-ed sport, people.
That's true.
Co-ed. So there's a decent chance that you'll find someone that you can tolerate dating.
Yeah.
Because there's enough people on the team and no one really gets cut.
Right.
And a lot of times, the hottest babes are not the fastest.
No,
so
they're not.
So it kind of works out great because, you know, you guys do an activity together that maybe you're not great at and she's not great at.
Uh-huh.
And then you have something in common.
Well, and it's like the ones who are not very attractive, they're going to spend a lot more time sitting around.
Yeah.
Because as much as you're not necessarily cut from a team, they're not going to be put in every race either. Like,
well,
if you have multiple events.
You do, but
okay.
I'm not going to get into the logistics of that.
Well, you might have to get into the logistics with the next question. All right. What is it like to coach a high school running team?
Pretty fun and rewarding, to be honest.
Okay.
It sounds weird, but it's nice because, well, I hated school, to be honest.
All right.
I didn't have what I would call school spirit or anything like that.
Yeah, you kind of went because you were required to.
You have to go. What are you going to do? So, I think I identify with kids who don't really love school and learning and whatever.
Uh-huh.
And I ended up working with a lot of those kinds of kids.
Right.
So I think it was nice to be a positive influence on those kids. And a lot of sports coaches, like track coaches, I had two different track coaches giving me a speech about how, you know, high school is the best time of your life.
Right.
And that was definitely not my experience. I mean, the years leading up to high school were probably the worst time of my life, and high school was sort of digging out of that hole.
That high school was still bad, but somehow didn't seem as bad because everything before it was utter shit.
Well, I don't know how that can be. If that's the best time of your life, it means you're a bad person because you can't make decisions for yourself. You don't really care about your own autonomy and shit.
Right.
I mean, because in high school, you only have... If you're still living at home, you know what I mean? How can that be the best time of your life?
You're living at home. Odds are good you don't have... Like, either you don't have money or any money you do have, like, sort of comes from nowhere.
Yeah, I mean, the kids I know who had money were the ones who had to work because their families were poor.
Right.
I mean, not because it's like, oh, they bought a nice car for themselves. So,
I can imagine high school is the best time in your life if your family was exceptionally wealthy and they gave you money, and you didn't have to do any work, really.
Yeah, but that just means you're a piece of shit.
I mean, yeah, it means you're a piece of shit.
If that's the best time of your life, I don't care what the circumstances are. I mean, unless you got paralyzed on your senior graduation, then fine. But other than that, no, I'm not going to accept any corollaries to it's okay for that to be the best time of your life. You're not even a fully formed human yet.
Right.
So the point being, I think it was nice to play a role of someone who could talk to kids and work with kids who were... I mean, I worked with a lot of runners who were really talented, but a lot more who were not. And
right.
This was not, like, their life thing.
Like, they were not going to become professional runners by any stretch of the imagination.
No. It's raining right now.
It is.
But that's okay.
The rain's coming
down.
So
anyway, it was a good experience. I would like to do it still, to be honest, but I have like a regular human job.
Uh-huh.
And of course, they're like, no, you cannot leave at 3 every day and not work at all on Fridays.
So that's the kind of thing that because you have an actual job.
Yeah.
That it's the sort of thing that there's probably a lot of great people out there who would love to be a running coach or some kind of coach or be a director of a high school play, but can't do it because their jobs don't allow it.
Sure.
And so that means the only people who are available to do those kinds of things tend to be people who are retired, which can be good, or the unemployable.
Well,
otherwise,
this is getting too inside baseball, but yeah. You really have to be a teacher at the school to have any sort of... that's the best way to do it if you're going to coach at a high school, I mean.
You can
recruit kids, and you can help them academically a little more and all that kind of shit. You know what they're up to in general.
Right.
So to do it from outside the school is foolish.
Okay. All right, so moving on, we're going to go to question 20, is how can someone become a good runner, since you are an avid runner and a running coach at one point?
I guess that depends on what your goals are, but overall, I'd say, I mean, the way I saw most people improve is just by running.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like, if you're a boxer, you don't train by fucking running sled dogs. You box.
You have to get on the track, so to speak, or on your feet.
On the road. I think being on the road's better than anything. I mean, if you're asking someone advice on how to be a good runner, then you're not, like, going to be a 400 runner. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're talking about jogging, basically, which is great. The best advice I've ever heard, I think, is there's this really good book called Born to Run.
Uh-huh.
And there's a sort of a famous-ish, as famous as runners get, I guess, runner.
Right.
And basically his advice is, you know, just start running, shoot for easy, and if easy's all you get, that's still pretty good.
Okay. So basically it's to sort of just get out there and run, but run to your ability, run to your limits. Like, don't try and do something insane. Just get out there and do it.
Well, shoot for easy first, because right. The thing is, if you learn to love running, if you love doing it,
right,
everything else is easy. If it's a slog every day, it's probably not for you.
Like, it's not going to be your sport, so...
No, I mean, I like it. If someone right. told me I had to play basketball every day, I probably wouldn't enjoy it. I wouldn't get out there every day, and I wouldn't get very good.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. Like, I'm one of those people who does not enjoy running.
Yeah.
Like, I just... Something about it just is not fun.
Well,
so,
if you really want to take it up just for exercise purposes, my personal advice is... You know, let's say you're running 3 days a week, right?
Uh-huh.
Commit to, at the very least, you have to put on, you know, you get home. The hardest thing is when you transition, you get home from work and you have to get out there on the road and you're tired.
Right.
And you could watch a show and you're ready to eat dinner.
Uh-huh.
My best advice is commit to, if nothing more, putting on your running shit and walking to the end of the block. Because you'll find that if you go that far... It's really a lot easier to take those next 10 steps.
It's overcoming that inertia, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because you're already out there, you're in your clothes, you'd have to go back in and change and shit.
All right.
So you kind of take out your excuses that way.
Fair enough. All right. We're going to move on. I had a struggle coming up with 50 questions, so every now and then I sort of cheated.
Okay.
All right. And I borrowed these from a recent article that came out trying to figure out, like, what are the most effective questions on a dating website.
Oh, God.
Well, the thing is, like, they're trying to figure out, like, what question should I ask on a first date to get what I want.
Would you have a date with me and then sex?
Right. Like, you can't just come out and say, listen, do you fuck on the first date?
Okay.
All right. But they found that one dating website found that some of these questions were good relationships between whether or not you would fuck on the first date or other things.
Okay.
So this first question, do you like the taste of beer?
Yes.
All right, so that means you're very likely to fuck on the first date.
Really?
Yes.
Now, is this for women or men?
Both.
Weird, okay.
Like, this was
okay, but that's not fair, because if you like the taste of beer, in my personal experience, you're probably a guy.
Yeah.
In my personal experience, guys have no problem fucking on the first date. So you might as well just ask, do you have a penis?
All right, so that's a good point for men.
It's a little skewed.
But for women... You're far more likely to fuck on the first date.
But did they separate the men and the women?
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes.
Or are you assuming?
They had a little, like, when they had the little chart, they had men and women separate.
Okay.
So I assume that's as separate as you can get when they each get their own chart.
Well, I think probably most of the girls who I know drink beer are party girls.
Yeah.
So, okay.
They're more likely to like something bitter in their mouth, so.
Oh, come on.
Hello. All right. These three next questions are actually the ones that you're most likely to stay together. Like, you're most likely to stay in your marriage or
like
in your relationship.
Like a long-term thing?
Right. Like, okay. These are the things that if you match your partner, you'll last a long time. So, Heather Hines, I hope you're listening.
Yeah.
All right. Do you like horror movies?
Yes.
All right.
And she does, too.
There you go.
I know that for a fact.
Do you ever just want to toss it all aside and live on a boat?
A
sailboat.
Not a boat.
Okay.
But I mean, I could do a similar cabin or RV or something like that. I'm just not real into the sea.
Okay, so the boat is sort of the hang-up, but...
But yes, I mean, in general, as a sentiment, sure.
All right.
Who doesn't think that from time to time?
Well, some people don't, I guess.
Idiots.
And the last one for this little run is, have you ever traveled alone?
Have I ever traveled alone? Like, totally, or... Like,
well,
I've flown from places alone, or... You know, I've taken short trips in the car alone.
Okay. But,
yeah,
like, you've
I'll
never...
I'll say yes, then.
Okay.
I would.
You would. I think they're going for more, like, if you've ever gone abroad, or, like, to another state before, by yourself. Like, you traveled by yourself, you landed, you were there by yourself, and...
No.
You came back by yourself.
No, but I would.
Okay. Like you would if you had the opportunity
sure.
or the reason to.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're if your answers match Peter's, you might be compatible.
I don't know if she can. She's a very nervous flyer.
Well, I think the point is not if you flew, but...
Well, you're inventing all this corollary shit of, like, you have to fly to another state and then be there alone and then come back alone.
I mean, I guess that's what the question might be getting at, because it seems like if you go to the grocery store by yourself, that's not
that,
really traveling.
But, like, okay, when we went to Boston, I flew there alone, met up with you there, and then flew home alone.
I guess that's what they're looking for, too. I'm not really sure.
Or I've taken, like, a trip to the mountains alone or, like, a day trip alone.
So I guess you would say yes. Yeah. But... If you're, like, the idea of all three of those is that if your partner has all three, you're more likely to stay together than anything related to religion or politics or anything like that.
Well, yeah, but you're not going to, how long is a relationship going to last if you have a complete difference on that shit? I mean,
well,
how are you going to even get to questions of, obviously, that stuff's not compatible, so.
I mean, it's not a causal thing. They just found an interesting correlation. It's more like what you could ask on a first date.
Yeah.
Because you can't say, like, listen. What's your religion? What are your views on politics?
Well, luckily my first date is usually tricking a girl into getting on an airplane alone and watching
Saw.
Yeah.
Hostel.
Yeah.
There you go.
A back-to-back Saw Hostel.
All right. 25. Are you ready to play the Roseanne game?
Yes.
All right. We're going to see if it's really Peter's skill at the Roseanne game.
Oh, there's an actual Roseanne game?
That's right.
Okay.
So,
how many did you do?
I only did 3.
Oh, good.
Okay. And I took, now in fairness to the rules, all right, I took them from Netflix descriptions rather than Wikipedia ones.
Okay.
But I did watch the episodes, so
okay.
I didn't cheat.
Okay.
All right.
So, I believe you.
There are 3 episodes.
And 1 is fake.
And 1 is fake.
All right.
All right. And 2 are real.
Okay.
So... Your job is to try to pick which episode... You're going to eliminate 1, which is real.
Yeah, and then I have a 50-50.
Then you have a 50-50.
Okay.
All right.
I'm excited and ready.
Okay. So if you pick it, if you pick the fake one, that's a losing one.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So here are the 3 episodes.
All right.
Have you played before?
No.
Ah, so this will be new. All right. This is the first episode.
Okay.
Description.
Okay.
Dan takes to the ice to help DJ win a position on the junior hockey team, but DJ's position is generally on the floor. Meanwhile, Roseanne's patience is put to the test helping Jackie recover from a broken romance.
Okay.
All right, that's the first episode. Second, Becky bends the rules to suit herself and continues to date a boy her parents don't like. Meanwhile, Roseanne and Dan have a lot of fun shopping for a new bed.
Okay.
All right. And the third, Jackie's job as a police officer puts a strain on the house when Dan asks Jackie to help his boss out of a ticket. At home, Darlene is depressed because Becky's new job means Becky gets all the attention.
Okay, I know that the second one is real. The one about the bed, that's real, right?
That's a real episode?
Yeah, because I've seen that one, so that's for sure real.
Okay.
So my choices have to do with Dan helping DJ on the ice while Roseanne's patience is tested by Jackie.
Right.
Or, let's see. Jackie is a cop and has to get someone out of a ticket for Dan?
Right.
That
Dan's
one
boss.
Sounds... Oh, Dan's boss.
Yeah.
And what was the subplot there?
The subplot is Darlene is depressed because Becky's new job means Becky gets all the attention.
I'm going to say that one's the fake one.
That you think that one's the fake one?
Yeah.
That one is the fake one.
I knew it.
What clued you in?
I don't think Dan would ask Jackie to get his boss out of a ticket.
All right.
That part didn't ring true to me.
So
it's raining like a bastard.
It didn't make a lot of sense. Well, it's kind of raining a lot, and with the Roseanne game, we're going to take a short break and come back.
All right. Going. All right. Saw the numbers going?
Yeah. All right, and we're back again. It's about halfway through.
Tag team, back again. Check it, directed, let's begin. Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. DC's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. You got a party over here, party over there. Wave your hands in the air, shake your dare, yeah. These three words, you get Betsy, whoop, there it is.
All right. Luckily,
we've been driving for a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
By
so
the way.
Question 26, coming in the second half. All right.
Ready.
Without any internet in the helpful snow fort, how do you get your porn?
My porn? Well, I don't really get much new porn.
Okay.
I have to pretty much go by memories.
thoughts. So wait, you masturbate by imagination.
Here's the thing. Well, this isn't me because I'm pretty sure this is semi-illegal.
Right.
But a friend told me this is what he does, and I'm just going to use the pronoun me to protect his identity.
All right.
And I. So here's what I do. I can sometimes get a network.
Okay.
An unsecured network right near my house, my apartment.
All right.
And so what I've done, though, is I've discovered that there are certain places where it comes in stronger.
Uh-huh.
And the place it was the strongest was right where my bed was, but about 1 foot from the ceiling.
Okay.
So I'm embarrassed to say that there were times when I would do something like I had a rolling office chair. I would put that on top of my bed, extend it to its full height, and then stand on the bed in front of the office chair like it was a desk, and therefore be able to surf pornography.
You're like a caveman with your pornography. You're like a chimp where you stack boxes to get the banana.
Exactly.
You know, you stack a whole bunch of furniture to get to your pornography.
So, I mean, I've gone to lengths to get it. It doesn't just come easy for me.
All right. So you've gone a long way, baby.
Yeah.
To do that.
Yeah.
All right. And question 27.
Okay.
Moving on.
I think it's, though, to stick to that for a second.
All right.
Kind of good in the sense that if you have just unlimited internet access and you can surf porn, it's like an endless, like the most delicious Coca-Cola you've ever had, and it's endless.
All right.
Right? So it's like you probably shouldn't drink 800 ounces of Coke all at once, and you'll regret it afterwards and look at how much time and stuff you wasted. But when you have a network that could go away at any moment, just from the capricious, I don't know what it is, the barometric pressure or whatever.
Right.
You just pick something and you stick to it and you get it done. It's not like an hour long process. It's like a 15 minute from soup to busted nuts.
Soup to busted nuts. But on the other hand, it sort of means that you're going, like if you have a capricious network, you're going to go with your tried and true. So you're going to go with whatever you happen to be into, which in your case is, of course, Asian fisting.
Right.
And so you're never going to really experiment with, like, well, you know, what if I would want to see some African-Americans fisting?
I think if you've gone to the level of Asian fisting, it's maybe best to have it reined in.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. I don't need the Wild West.
All right. Fair enough. And number 27. All right. Who exactly is Colorado Pete?
Colorado Pete? That's me. That was an internet alter ego for a time.
Right. And question 28. What is the story behind Colorado Pete?
I don't know.
All right. Well, actually, I remember the story of how you got the internet alias because you sent this in. You sent a story into another podcast.
Oh.
As Colorado Pete, which is question 29. Which is, what was your most painful sexual experience?
I think I've shared this story on a previous cast, but it was a hand job.
Right.
Where I got a fingernail stabbed into the head of my penis and was bloody all over.
Ah, yes.
It was fucking, that was real painful.
Right.
If you can imagine you're jerking off. And I think, too, I don't know if this is true or not, but like, if I had to hammer a nail through my penis, I feel like it would hurt less if it was soft than hard.
Hmm, that's an interesting scientific experiment. So
yeah.
You're going to have to find a penis, someone who's willing to get their penis nailed, and then, well, I guess maybe if we have a helpful snow fan out there who's gotten a Prince Albert, say.
Yeah.
Like, what if you got one soft and one aroused,
who
which
the
hurt
fuck,
more?
Though? I mean, what kind of piercer is like, sure, you're hard, I'll just do that. That seems like, I think if I was a piercer, I'd say, listen, I can wait 10 minutes.
No boners rule?
No boners. I'm not piercing a boner.
All right. Fair enough. So with that, we'll move on to question 30, which is a little bit more family friendly. What is your least
Thank
favorite
God.
Board game?
Oh, I think I talked about the Game of Life, which I hate quite a bit on a previous cast.
Right.
But to be honest, the one I hate the most is Monopoly.
Okay,
I
Monopoly.
Think it's dumb. It's pointless. It lasts way too fucking long. And everyone, here's what everyone says. I have a strategy. You know what the strategy is? You buy everything you can when you land on it. Everything gets bought, and then you just drive around in the little car until you run out of money or everyone else does. There's no, like...
Your strategy is really not to get to be the last one to get bored of it.
It's not like having a chess strategy, okay? Chess
right.
is a strategy game that's won or lost on the strategy.
Uh-huh.
There's no question that, like, a more skilled player is going to win 9 times out of 10.
Right.
I think a Monopoly player who studied Monopoly is still probably going to be about 50-50.
It's like people who say they have a slot machine strategy.
Yeah, because no matter how good you are at Monopoly, you can't make yourself land on Park Place and Boardwalk.
Right. So, I was amazed you didn't say Trivial Pursuit as your least favorite.
Well, I don't like the Trivial Pursuit game, but playing with just the cards is fun, or playing it as a drinking game. I don't really like the... I think the board game part of it is just like they threw that together just so they could sell you it in a box.
Oh, so you do like the cards?
I'm okay with the cards.
All right, because we happen to have some Trivial Pursuit cards here.
Oh, fuck.
All right, and we're going to go through them. This is from the Trivial Pursuit Genius Edition.
Oh, good.
All right, so
yeah,
we'll see if you're a genius.
Yeah, the regular one's a little too easy for me.
Right, I bought these cards at the Arc for $1.
Someone was like, I'm not as smart as I thought.
Right. So, we'll start off with People and Places as our first category.
All right.
By the way, this is Genius Edition, not that 20th Anniversary or Millennium Edition crap.
Now, did you purposely pick ones, or did you just randomly select?
Well, I selected some that I think you might know and some that were entertaining.
Okay.
All right. People and Places. What diminutive author described himself as an alcoholic, drug addict, homosexual, and genius?
Truman Capote?
That's right, Truman
yeah.
Capote. All right, so moving on to arts and entertainment is what sitcom saw twins Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen play...
Full House.
Okay, there you go. All right, that's actually in the Genius Edition because they tend to assume geniuses don't know watch Full House.
Oh, so it's supposed to be really
right.
hard for them because
right,
it's like
I
only
guess.
Idiots would watch that show?
Yeah.
All right.
All right,
that's,
so...
That's reasonable logic.
History. All right, are you ready for a history question?
Yeah.
What did Woonsocket, Rhode Island decree that manholes should be called in a 1978 anti-sexist edict?
What did one what?
What did Woonsocket, Rhode Island
oh,
decree that manholes city? Should be called in a 1978 anti-sexist edict?
people covers.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
They should be called...
I don't know.
Person holes.
That's fucking stupid.
That's right. You took the man out of manholes and put them in, made them person holes.
That was pretty close. Person covers or whatever I said. People covers.
Well, when you like, you know, I used to say that's bullshit. I only see dudes going up and down manholes, right?
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, you know, you shove a corpse down a manhole every now and then. So
yeah.
I guess, you know, it's
that's
not
true.
Yeah, corpses are not really people, but you could shove a woman's corpse and a man's corpse down the hole same way.
Did you know that they make manhole covers a circle because if you have it any way you drop it in there, it won't fall through the hole?
That is true.
Like a rectangle could fall through if you turned it sideways, but a circle can't fall through a circle no matter what orientation.
You know, when I heard that, I always tried to think like, well, what about a triangle manhole cover? I'm like, I tried to think about like, well, how would you do that? How would you sort of wedge that? I guess you'd sort of slide it down the side. And, yeah, so that's why it's a circle, ladies and gentlemen. But I don't understand why they couldn't just make a lip.
So I'm still counting myself a genius because I think I knew a fact that's more exciting than...
than person?
I feel like these genius questions are more like, do you guys understand what idiots are up to?
Right.
Like they're renaming shit that doesn't need to be renamed because who cares? It's called a manhole cover even though, I mean, it's a manhole, which is... Can we just accept that because it's a fun name for a gay bar?
Sure.
The manhole. I mean, that's perfect.
But would the person hole be a great straight bar name? Like, you could have the manhole on one side and the person hole next door to it?
No.
No? Okay. All right.
Just call it, I don't know, Kokomo.
All right. This is moving on to science and nature.
Okay.
All right. This is a nice, easy yes or no one.
Oh, good.
Are camels born with humps?
I'm going to say no. I think those fill up with like fat and water or whatever over time.
That is correct. They are not born with humps. So the answer is no.
My humps. My humps. I wish someone should do camel footage to that.
There you go.
Set that. Or if they ever do like a camel Casbah instead of Meerkat Manor.
Okay.
That's going to be the theme song.
With where they follow wild camels around.
Yeah. And the intro is like a lot of cuts and it's my humps. Meh meh.
That's, you know, every single, like, promo for it, or, like, when they talk about it on E or something else would play that song.
Plus, Fergie has the face really of a camel, so there it's a perfect crossover.
Yeah, it would work. All right, moving on to sports and leisure.
Oh, God.
Don't worry.
I hope it's leisure.
You know, when I went through this, like, there's a ton of, like, who was taller, Willie Mays or Mickey Mantle?
Fuck that.
So I went with something that I think you might be able to get because it's board game related.
All right.
All right. What board game did the cast and crew play incessantly on the set of The Big Chill?
I've never seen The Big Chill. Would it help if I had?
No. Because it's the cast and the crew, so...
I know, but I thought maybe it was related in some way.
No, not really. Don't think so, anyway.
I mean, do people know this, or is this like a shot in the dark thing?
I believe this is more of a shot in the dark thing, unless you happen to be a huge fan of The Big Chill.
Okay. I'm going to say Scrabble.
That is incorrect.
Damn it.
The answer is Trivial Pursuit.
Oh, well, that's why it's in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, buy the new Millennium Big Chill Edition.
There you go.
Fucking assholes.
All right. And Wild Card. So Wild Card is about pretty much anything.
Yeah, okay.
All right. What are pushed and coupled in hump yards?
Pushed and coupled in... train cars.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Train cars.
My hump. My yard. My hump and yard and hump.
I wonder how many pornos take place in train yards.
I don't know, but humpyard.com has got to be a website.
Yes. It's got to be the kind of thing, it's like the, where they drive around in a van and pick up women at the train yard.
Yeah.
Like women who are clearly like in high heels and mini skirts, but in a train yard for
some
reason.
Secret hobo women.
Secret... Yeah, horny hobos. If that's not a website, someone should buy that domain name.
Well, I'll check Hump Yard and let everyone... Well, this will be one of my famous helpful snowman completely unfulfilled promises because I completely forget.
Right.
I will look up Hump Yard when I get some internet and see when I can get that chair back up on my bed.
All right. So, moving on, we've got through those Trivial Pursuit Genius Editions questions.
Okay.
And I believe you got all of them except for one. So,
pretty good.
Or two, actually. So you got 4 out of 6.
Yeah, and those were bullshit.
So, all right.
So I'm 100% by right. my count.
By your count, which doesn't count two questions.
Yeah.
All right, so 37, getting near the end here. Stonehenge, what the fuck? Question 37, Stonehenge, what the fuck?
I know nothing about it, but to be honest, it doesn't seem much more amazing than building, like, an actual building. So, I don't know, probably just some guys.
All right.
It would be my guess. I mean, I don't know.
But does that explain why people still go there? It's like,
is that what we're asking?
Well, it just says, what the fuck?
No, I don't know. I mean,
all right.
You can just type in google.com, click where it says images, type Stonehenge, and see more about it than you will ever want to know.
It's not something that I'm imagine is more impressive when you see it. Like, the Grand Canyon is more impressive when you see it than a picture of it.
Well, as far as I can tell, Stonehenge seems to be in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
So it seems like one of those things you got to fucking drive way out to see it. It's great for 20 minutes because now you've seen Stonehenge and then you can go home.
Right. Okay, moving on. Question 38. Would you rather have your biography made into a book as a book or as a documentary film?
My biography, probably a book.
All right.
I don't think I would be very comfortable in front of the camera, so I don't think it would work out well.
Okay.
And also, I don't think my life is very visually exciting.
All right.
Based on the activities I engage in.
That there would be a lot of coverage. That there, like, the coverage, by the way, is the kind of thing where you have trees blowing in the wind or scenery or, like, it would be a close-up of, you know, in Peter's case, it would be a close-up of the various action figures in his apartment.
Right. I mean, there's not a lot to see in my apartment.
Right.
My primary activities, which are exercising, reading, and writing, are not exciting to watch, really. I guess running's okay, but...
But running's kind of a dull thing to put on camera, too, for a long time.
Yeah, it doesn't look very exciting on camera to
me. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I'd say a book would be more...
The book somehow would capture it.
Yeah.
All right. 39 is an inversion of a common question.
All right.
What fictional character is least like you?
Oh, my God. Of all fictional characters?
Yeah.
Movies and books and everything?
Uh-huh.
Is least like me? I mean, I guess there are a lot of answers like, you know, fucking... A dwarf from Lord of the Rings, just because that's magical and not even close to real. Or Voldemort or something like that.
So you're saying that you're not close to an evil wizard.
Yeah, but I don't want to use that answer.
Like to say that you decided you're furthest from the dwarves and not the elves. The immortal, super light, magical, super skilled
Where is this
creatures.
Alleged gas station?
It looks like
it's an arrow.
And there's an arrow pointing... forward, I think, is what it is. We're trying to find a gas station, and we found it.
Yeah, it's right fucking in front of me.
Yeah, so...
And I was, like, very confused.
Where's the gas station?
Well, you
kind of
crossed the highway and then hit it.
Right.
And then, you know...
So when we come back, we'll have Peter's answer to what fictional character is least like him.
Yeah.